We doing it, James.
We are doing it. We are doing it. Have we talked about wrestling and before? Like, have
we? No, but we need to, James, because as a WWE fan. All right, I feel like wrestling deserves
wrestling. That's not the kind of wrestling.
What other wrestling are you talking about?
I'm talking about like this, like in high school,
WWE,
and then on to. No, I'm not. I'm certainly not talking about that. I'm talking about. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I loved that. I watched. You know, I used to watch Monday Night Raw and stuff. Used to watch that.
Used to. Have you seen it?
It's I don't.
Wonderful
keep up.
Drama.
No, I don't keep up.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying I was talking. All right. I feel like we got off. I feel like we started immediately not on the same foot, which is on the wrong foot.
Okay, right.
No, I'm a fan of WWE.
You can't say that when we do this movie, James. You can't say anything about a foot.
All right. Okay. First of all, yes, you can. You can talk
you
about
can't do
feet.
That.
You can address you can address feet. You can say you're on the wrong foot.
Okay,
It's not a dig or a comment. It's not a what?
No, what? No. Listen, it's just, you know, you dig your grave, but like, no. You know, we haven't talked about wrestling because there haven't been any wrestling movies. I mean, we got to be truthfully honest with everybody. We started this podcast a long time ago. We went through a phase where there were so many black movies that honestly, we had some that we could like pick and choose. Over the last year, the black-led studio film has dwindled to such an extent that it has been so hard to find movies in such a way where I'm like, it's funny because I was looking at the Oscar nominations. Can we talk about the Oscars for a second? Just for a quick second.
I mean, you know Bray's going to want to participate in that.
He ain't here.
Right,
he ain't here. He ain't.
All right. Well, listen, what do you want to say about the Oscars?
Ain't my fault my man ain't on time. Y'all, when y'all listen to this episode, drag him. No, but I think about it. We have less black films being made. But if you were to look at the Oscars this year, you would think that we're in a surplus. And then you look back and realize that most of those nominees are from two movies. Literally, like, think about it. We have two black women nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
We have a black man nominated for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but then my like overall question would sort of be like, I mean, like, yes, it does sort of. It is just these two movies, mostly. It's mostly those two movies where
and one don't even have black dudes in it.
Right. It doesn't. Got a few black women in it, though. It has a few black women in it.
It's true, but it's just funny to me. Yeah.
Needing to cast Leo. by nature of it being important that Leo was a lead in it. There are.
But think about how funny that is. That movie is about a revolutionary, and it ends up being a tall, blonde, white man.
I mean, tall, blonde, white men.
But
there's got to be one revolutionary.
Listen, but the revolution he's dealing with is like literally black and brown. I'm like, yo, Someone broke down that movie to me recently, and I just thought back to, oh, is this movie problematic? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is it doing the old trope? We just haven't seen it in so long. But also, we can like cheers Teyana Taylor so much that we like let it go. That is doing some of these things.
Yeah.
Sorry. I only bring that up because, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't. Hollywood is going to Hollywood no matter what happens. I mean, that's just unstoppable.
James, what did you. What did you do? You know what?
What?
You know what? Skylar clipped that off. That was better than anyone Braylock has ever done. That was better than anyone Braylock has done.
But
Skylar, when he pops on, please let's make note that he has failed at his opening bit. Okay. Everyone again, drag him again. Okay. Drag him again. All right. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drum Milligan.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. Hollywood City.
I got 1 year left to achieve my goal. or I'm nothing.
Woo!
The line was something powerful. Like that. That's not exactly the line, but it was something like that.
But it was like, you know, and then they'd be like, I came in second, which means I'm nothing. I've done nothing. Or something.
Come on. You know, when you start a movie like this, you already have an idea of like what you're getting into, but they was tugging at all the heartstrings and they was doing all the, I was on this journey.
Bro, they were like, I was on this journey. Sad.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you wearing a Michael Jackson bad shirt? Cause I'm what you're bad. Wearing? All right, don't do that. Where you get that shirt from though? I want it.
There is a random, hello everyone. We're going to get into the podcast, but I want everyone to know there's a random t-shirt, like band t-shirt place off of Melrose. I do not know the name, but they have a bunch of old band t-shirts and I have like a lot. I like that store a lot. Please. What's up, folks? This is Black Man Can't Jump in Hollywood. We are a film review podcast where we break down films starring leading black actors or actors of color. We like it to be a studio picture, okay?
Yeah.
One that gets into the theaters, one that gets some screens.
One with the back and behind it.
Tell him, James. Okay. All right. Now, again, this movie we're doing, I can't wait to describe to everyone because it is very interesting. The voice you hear right now is that of Gerard Milligan.
And I'm James the Third.
Sounded wonderful. If you're missing the voice of John Braylock is on CP time.
It's the whole thing.
Don't explain it for them.
In fact, he was doing another podcast. If we're going to be real, he was doing another podcast.
Is that what he was doing? Is that what's happening?
He was doing another podcast, but he had to do it. You know what I mean? He had to do it. It's one of those ones
where
you
get obsessed.
It's one of those ones when you get booked, you know, and you're like, oh, snap, I'm booked on this podcast.
How come the white people never book me on them podcasts?
You got to ask, bro.
Ask who? You said you got to get booked.
We can ask him. We can ask him when he pops on. But the times that I've done it, I asked. I had to ask first. Listen, the ask came from me. But then once you ask, you might get booked. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. But see, you know, who knows? Who knows what happened? Who knows? But everyone, we are reviewing the movie Unstoppable. And much to my chagrin, this is not the 2010 Denzel movie. This is the 2024 Sundance movie, Unstoppable, starring Jarrell Jerome, Jennifer Lopez, Don Cheadle,
J-Lo,
Bobby Cannavale,
Michael T. Williamson. My man Michael T. showed up.
And
when Michael T. showed up,
Michael
I wasn't
Pena.
Even looking at the screen. He started talking. I was like, Michael T. I knew it was him immediately. Knew it was Michael T.
I know. It's funny because how old is this guy in real life? This is an autobiographical film about pro wrestler who is a wrestler. How do you say this? How do I say it appropriately? He lives with a disability. He has one leg. Yeah. Anthony Robles, real life dude. He is 37 years old in real life. So this is a fairly recent story. And this is his movie. I mean, this movie came out, I think it went straight to streaming, so I don't believe there's a box office for it. Let's see. I remember hearing about this movie when it first came out. I thought it was going to have, I think people thought it was going to have some Oscar buzz, or at least...
I'm surprised it didn't. It's very well made, and the acting is great from everybody. Like, there's not a weak link.
So I have a theory on it. I have a theory on it that we'll get into, but it's funny because I'm trying to work on a movie that the lead will be an actor who lives with a disability. And it's hard trying to make like a feel good movie, but not a feel good movie. And I think this plays into
you
a
mean
lot
not
of the tropes.
Too Hallmarky. Is that what you
yes.
mean?
Yes. And I think this movie plays into that like from the very first lines in the movie. And I was like, ooh.
I don't know, though. I don't know. Well, yeah.
Like from the music, like they're just the things they does, but. What's up, folks? This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, y'all, sometimes it feels like everyone has it together in their love life. You know, whether they're married, dating, or single. I ain't got no kids. I ain't married. And it's stressful. My mom will order. She will call me and go, so what's happening? And I don't know, Mom. I don't know. I'm trying my best.
Yes, it is tough when the signs and everything around you is showing you like, oh, everybody has it together, and you may not feel like you got it together.
Yeah, man, it's tough, but BetterHelp has therapists who work on a strict code of conduct and are licensed in the U.S., and you can talk to them about anything. Your love life that's happening, love life that ain't working out, the love life that you want to have, they are there for you. Just sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. BetterHelp, your love life today. That, okay, that was a good one. Like, bro, I wish Bray could hear that one. That was a good one.
After the holidays, there's so much to clean up and get ready for the coming year. This leaves me exhausted and a lot of things falling off my to-do list. It's time to lock in, and Omaha Steaks delivers everything you crave to reset after the holidays. An order from them means having high-quality Omaha Steaks on hand at all times. I'm a big meat lover myself, and I always go with medium rare, but there's also plenty of poultry and other options available. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to www.omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. Thanks to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us.
Well, let's get into it. Do you want to go first? Want me to go first? Initial thoughts?
I guess I can start. I liked this movie. I had a great time. Like I said, like I was on board from the beginning. Like I already kind of knew going in, like, oh, I'm probably gonna like this. Not all I knew was it was Jarrell Jerome and wrestling. Yeah. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about who he was playing, anything about that person's story, or anything like that. I just knew, like, okay, yeah, like it's called Unstoppable. We're gonna see him overcome adversity somehow.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I love Jarrell. I haven't seen enough of Jarrell just in general. So I was excited to watch this. And yeah, I mean, I thought it was well made. I love how like every scene there's an actor, like just an established name actor.
Yeah.
Working like in every scene, they're just sort of passing the baton from one major actor to another. And everyone's just kind of getting their chance to, you know, kind of chew up scenery a little bit. And I think the story's well made. I think it's well written. I like the... One thing that stood out to me was that I liked that we get that a thing that gets in his way is himself, like getting in his own way. Even in the beginning, you know, like him being super focused on Iowa in that first match, even though he still won that match, he never got it out of his head that Iowa was there. And they show that, you know, and then they show it, the same thing happening and it getting in his way in a way of him not winning the match, you know, and it was just cool. I think the way that they like were consistent in that way, you know, it still follows. I don't know what this person's actual journey was. You know, it pretty much follows the beats you would expect from a sports movie.
Yeah.
And so in that way, I like the Hallmark thing you were saying. In that way, it didn't quite feel like it was only that. It felt more like this just kind of feels sports movie to me. You know, and like, and at the same time, this is a person living with a disability, but it like, it didn't feel like it was like a mopey about that. You know what I mean? Like that, that was the challenge that he was trying to overcome, or that was the task at hand that he was trying to flip on people's heads, you know, like their understanding of that. But to me, it didn't feel too hokey, but I don't know, maybe it's there and I just didn't quite see it in that same way. But I really liked the acting. I thought from everybody, like J-Lo was doing her thing. Bobby was doing his thing. Kat said, why does J-Lo always play parts like this?
And I was like, I thought the same thing at one point.
I think you got to raise awareness. Like as long as you're around, you raise an awareness that you don't got to be with a man like this.
Like, yeah, that's real.
As long as she can take parts every now and again, she's going to pick up a part like this to make sure you know you can be better than this.
You don't need that nigga.
But so, yeah, so that's my general, and excited to talk about it more specific.
I agree. I think the acting was well across the board. I didn't particularly like this movie. I think because you had Jennifer Lopez, because you had Don Cheadle, because you had Michael Pena, because you had Bobby in this movie, I don't think you needed to cast Jarrell Jerome. I think you should have cast the actual actor who lived with a disability. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, I struggle with that a lot watching this movie. I think Jarrell Jerome did a very fine job, but it was like, because my thing is, it would be different if he was and maybe he was the first person to latch on, so you needed him. But with those bigger names, I'm like, I've seen J-Lo open movies like...
Yeah, absolutely.
That aren't great. So I feel like you... Because I think at this point, with those stars, you had the opportunity to cast somebody who actually lived with a disability. Also, I think what's hard for me is that... I mean, this movie opened with the line... Like, it shows Jarrell, like, you know, on the mat, getting ready for a match. And then it just cuts to, like, two random white girls being like, oh, my God, he has one leg. I bet you I could beat him. I could pin him. And, of course, Jennifer Lopez happens to be there. That's my son. Y'all ain't gonna clap for him? Love you, baby. And I was like, oh, my. Literally, the moment that went down, I was like, oh, my God.
No, you're doing that more than she. That's what you just did is extra.
I promise you. I promise you, they give these two girls like dialogue back and forth, just like kind of crapping on them. And not saying that's not realistic, but the thing is, for that to be the opening of this movie, of them just making fun of this kid, and then it just keeps cutting back to Jennifer Lopez listening, getting madder and madder, and they've heard her stand up and go, "That's my," and she does yell that, "That's my son."
Yeah.
And then the girls freeze. Y'all not gonna clap? And I was like, oh, I go, oh my God. And then they do that tropey thing of like, you know, throughout the movie, they play that inspirational music when some shit is going on. Like, when he's going up that mountain, man, that fucking music is there. And then you see the other boys just, like, waiting for him. And the thing is, they show him, like, coming up through, like, one of the bushes, and the music's getting louder, and it cuts back to Don Cheadle and them. Don Cheadle and them look shocked as fuck. And then, like, it shows, and he comes up. And the thing is, this is probably real. Like, he probably had to do this. But the thing is, the music made it so, like, and everybody all of a sudden is like, well, we now respect this guy with one leg. Like, he wasn't a champion before. You know what I'm saying? Like, we respect this little nigga now.
That's so interesting.
And then it cuts to the shot of him going up, his hands and shit are bloody. Because you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the scene. And I was trying to think, what's the difference about this movie? Is that it has a, what's it called? Whiplash kind of situation at first. Where, like, in Whiplash, Miles Teller is so obsessed with becoming, like, on the drum team, he is pushing himself. Matter of fact, at one point, he is playing so hard, his hands are bleeding
Bleeding on the... Mm-hmm.
And then the thing about him is he becomes his own problem. Like, he becomes so obsessed. Like, he gets into a car accident, runs away from the car accident, runs to the place. He's in fucking shock. He can't hold the drumsticks and ruins everything. And, you know, and again, I know this is based on a real story. So when he gets up that mountain... And his hands are bloody, his foot is bloody, and he just starts smiling, and everybody's looking at him like, this nigga's crazy. Something about that made me laugh because the music hit a crescendo.
Was he smiling in that scene?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to show like, and I do respect that movie. I think it was supposed to show like, you know, like in Wonder Woman when like she's getting like beat up at first and she just smiles and she's like, you know, it's like, well, I'm ready to fight. So I think they were giving him that moment, which I respect.
Yeah.
But it's also hard for me to be like, this is a team, and his team is just going to run past this kid, like knowing he has like one leg.
I mean, they stopped, you know, and asked him if he was okay, and they
ran past and asked if he was okay. And again, I'm not saying they needed to do anything different, and I'm not saying it was like the movie. Again, it's hard for me because I understand it was a biopic, but sometimes when you get to these biopics, they are so squeaky clean that...
Yeah, and sometimes that stuff is fake too, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And not saying he had a struggle or anything like that, but I'm just like, oh, that was really hard for me to deal with. But, I mean, I did struggle watching this movie. It is not one of my favorites. And again, I think this movie was very good for me to watch. So I'm trying my best to make sure I personally don't do this.
Like, don't do what
like,
this movie did.
Literally,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is my fear. They're like, what is happening is my
fear.
It's so
interesting. Like, because I'm interested. I wonder how Bray probably was where you are too. But what's just interesting about hearing you say that is like we had totally different experiences. Watch, like it's just because even to the point of like the smile getting up top, like I didn't even register the getting up top as a smile, which literally might be that I just didn't even see it. But even like down to stuff like that, like the music just hooking me and making me go, oh man, look at him look at him climb up that
listen I get it. The thing is,
and you're watching and you're like, oh, I can't.
You know what it is? I think the issue for me is that I've seen enough of these movies, like this particular type of like sports movie.
Yeah.
And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is a paint by the numbers movie. Like the moment.
Yeah.
I guess let's get into it. The movie starts, it has that moment with J-Lo. That's my son. I don't know why I'm making that point because she didn't say it like that. But that's my son. And they have
literally
moment,
said, that's a good way to handle that.
You know what it is? It's so interesting because, again, I think if the moment would have started with him more than like her saying something, I think I would have been more maybe board. But the moment, because the moment she said that, I was like, I know what this movie is. You know what I mean? Like, I know what we're about to get into. Mm-hmm. And again, the opening was fantastic. We see that he's a great fucking wrestler.
Yeah.
We see him staring at Ohio. Ohio is there. He wants to go to Ohio because that's where all the wrestling champs come from. Iowa.
Yeah.
That's where all the wrestling champs come from.
Yeah, and we see that Pena's a good coach too. He's like, it's not about any of that. Like, it's about this match. There's literally no other match. You know, there is no future. It's this match. That just is so real. That is the literal reality of any of this, of like, you know, being in sports, of being in entertainment, of being in, there is no anything after this. It's the thing you're doing right now. And if you are at all focused, more focused on the other thing than your task at hand, it's going to trip you up. It's just going to trip you up.
Yeah. And what's so good too, I'm gonna be honest, the thing that I remember about this part is that I was actively jealous of his character because I'm one of those people where like, even so much, so I've been following Ryan Coogler a lot recently and just like his story. Mm-hmm. And recently he took like the teacher from not USC, but the one who saw him write something like, you should do right. I am always jealous of the person who had an adult see them and like, put them on the right path. Cause I was like, I think I always wanted the right path person.
Yeah. And that's so, you never had anybody say you're good at this, you're good at that or whatever.
No, I had people who would say, I think I was the person like when people realized I wouldn't give up on certain things. Like I remember, I think the most help I ever got was like this. So if you've been to my New York show, you heard this bit already. But when I got to college, I had a British teacher who hated, and I mean, I can say this with a capital H, because I think she might have said it, hated my accent. Like, hated. Yeah. And I remember, like, after acting class, every Tuesday and Thursday, I would stay for an hour after acting class to get rid of my accent. So I had dialect classes every 2 days a week for a month. And that, low-key, could be kind of racist, but also it was the most ever someone was like, you know,
I mean,
I got,
I mean,
you.
It is only racist in that, like, you know, the mainstream understanding of what it meant to act in the States was racist for a long time. Like, I don't think it's that teacher was racist necessarily, but it's that, you know, we've only just recently in the last 10 years or something started to accept.
Yeah.
Americans with different accents and elevating them to different and elevating them to these high, you know, where you have Ryan Coogler talking on these stages with his it's not necessarily thick, but with his specific twang that he has, you know,
which I love hearing him speak, him and Dominique Fishback, because Dominique has a lisp. Like, I genuinely love it. So did you think Michael Pena and Jennifer Lopez were going to start dating in this movie?
You know, it's funny. No, I didn't. But then I didn't throughout the movie. But then there was one time that I did. It was when he showed up with the
same.
It was when he showed up with the letters, the fan letters, and I was like, are they gonna do a horrible thing where they get together?
James, that's what I thought.
Would have been terrible.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, is he about to date Jennifer Lopez? Like, is that this
I'm
whole
glad
thing?
That that's not what happened.
Same.
Not only
Same.
In the movie, but it also, I guess, probably didn't happen in real life. But like a dramatization of the scenario would have potentially tried to do that. And I'm glad that they didn't.
100%. I mean, also, like, you know, as we get into it, again, it was so hard to watch. I think I put this on and my partner, I think she didn't even watch it. Once she realized it was like Jerome with like pretending to have one leg, I think she was like, nah. Yeah, I don't think she was even down with it. But because again, man, I think what's so hard about this, I think about it in The Wicked, like Wicked on Broadway, you know, the Wicked.
Yeah, only just now hired someone who uses a wheelchair.
I don't even know if she's debuted yet. Like, as of recording, I know she's been hired. I don't know if she's debuted yet. But like,
yeah.
So I think about that. I think about like, that was really hard to deal with. But also what's so interesting about it is, it's like so much stuff was so telegraphed. Like the moment Bobby Cannavale showed up, the moment they sit at that table.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding?
The moment they sit at that table, I was like, this nigga about to be evil. I was like, oh,
my. It was before he came in the door. You know, because we had seen them for a while. We had seen the family, you know, and it was like the dad wasn't there. And it was like, OK, wasn't at the game. Like they had already the way they spelled out that we was about to think this man wasn't shit was he already wasn't at the game. Then they get home and he ain't there. And it was like, oh, he about to be ain't shit.
Yeah. And he started just like rying, my man, immediately. I'm like, damn, bro. Like, because you know what it was? It was the shot of, like, the kids asking him, like, oh, my God. Also, what is so interesting about this is we realize he's basically a racist cop or like, a guard at a prison. You know, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is an interesting take on things. Also, you know what it is? And I don't know if this is what Kat was getting at, but Jennifer Lopez, in this particular movie, being as ripped as she was, I was like, listen, man, I done seen you in the movie enough, okay?
Yeah.
I know you can throw hands. So it was so hard for me at one point to be like, Jennifer Lopez ain't about to, listen, what?
Like, just because you can throw hands doesn't mean you will throw hands.
James, I get it. That don't mean you need to throw hands.
Just because you can throw hands doesn't mean you will throw hands.
I was struggling.
I'm not saying don't throw hands.
Listen, we were at the very beginning, Bray. We talk about like when he first went home and how textbook Bobby Cannavale was with just like the evil stepdad. And I was saying, like, J-Lo, look, man, she was trying, bro. Like, this was everybody's indie. They were pushing for this to be the
indie. That's a great way to put it. This was everybody's indie. Because every time somebody showed up, you were like, why? Why is this person in this?
This was it. Bray, what you think about it?
Oh, yeah, we did our initial thoughts. What you think?
Yeah. My initial thoughts, I think like, I guess initial thoughts was like, the real story of this seems incredible. It feels like it's a story worth telling. You know what I mean? I felt like it wasn't made quite well. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it was. I think the directing is, I think, first and foremost, probably the problem. I don't know how great the script was. I know, doing some research, I know this went through a bunch of different phases. Like, did you guys talk about the fact that this was originally Jason Mitchell was the first person who was slated to play?
For Jerome?
Yeah.
Back in
2018 or something, or probably like right up or Dang. 2017, probably like fresh off Straight out of Compton. This was in the works for a while, and it got passed through the hands of many different people.
Oh,
until it ended with Ben Affleck.
Definitely think Jerrell Jerome
and Ben Affleck's production company pushing it through, which is why J-Lo's in it. But
oh, snap.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Jerrell Jerome, I think, like, so it's like, And Jarrell Jerome, like, this man is a good actor, and I know he went through so much to do this. It's a tough one for me.
It should have been an actor with a who lived with a disability.
I knew this was going to happen, Bray, because Gerard didn't like it either, but I did like it.
You liked him? Okay.
I liked him, and I liked the movie.
Oh, you liked the movie. General. Oh, good. Like, these things didn't... I didn't hate this movie, that's for sure. And there are parts of it that I liked. I think it just, like, I don't know. There was something, I think the score maybe also wasn't the greatest.
Yeah. I said that too.
Yeah, I basically was like, Brent, what I said was it just felt like, it felt like every other inspiring sports movie, like the music cued in when it needed to cue in. He fought adversity at every point and had to get over himself. It just felt very by the numbers. And, it wasn't like the direction was boring or anything like that. It was just, it felt normal. It felt very like.
It was just like, great. They did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, this is what it is. Like, I told James, like, the moment he started going up the mountain and everybody's at the top of the mountain and they do that shot looking at him through the bushes, that music slowly starts creeping up. And then when he lands and you see the blood on his hands and he smirks, that music, it hits a crescendo. I was like, oh my gosh.
And like, that's such a great, like, that scene in particular, right? I'm like thinking about it. It's like the fact that he was able to do that is crazy and like an extremely impressive. But I think, like, for me, I was kind of like, they were doing all this stuff of like, can you believe it? Like, look what he just accomplished. And I couldn't help but like think, yeah, but he didn't have to do that. And this has nothing to do with him getting on the team.
I agree. It does.
Like, I know, like, technically it does.
Kat in the sense that of, too.
In the sense that, like, the coach, John Cheadle, is, like, looking at him and going, like, man, this guy won't give up. And, like, that's a part of it. But, like, there was another part of me that's like, this doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. Like, I you know what I mean? Like, ultimately. And so I'm not feeling the same sense of accomplishment that probably this real person felt, and like maybe that I would feel reading his book, because this was like optioned off his own memoir. But I, you know what I mean? Like, I think the other thing that was hard with about this movie is that the movie actually starts with him winning his high school championship. And while like that wasn't seemingly impressive, I was like, oh, we're already starting at a point where it feels like he's overcome obstacles. Like, we're already showing him overcoming obstacles. Like, he's already overcome obstacles. And so I haven't sat with those in the outside of just knowing. I don't know. I'm interested to hear more about what you liked about it, James, because I don't know if I can quite put my finger on exactly why. But I guess it's all to say that I'm not surprised this movie didn't wind up actually getting into awards contention, even though I think they all thought it was going to. And they certainly, apparently when this movie was first released, first shown at, I forgot which festival.
I think it was Sundance.
Yeah, like everybody liked it at the festival and people thought, like, okay, like this is gonna be, and like it definitely had an FYC campaign.
We cannot trust festivals anymore. Like I don't care if you're like 6 minutes standing ovation. I'm like, if we had invited
what just
to
happened,
see
there
Green
was like
Book,
a 20-minute one.
Bro.
Well, they're almost like all of them get these
but listen,
now. They
my
all
thing is,
get
if we the three of us were in the theater to watch Green Book in real time, even though we know that movie is some bull, and we're standing there and Mahershala Ali's in the room, we're going to clap. Like, we're going to clap for the movie.
I got to tell you, I'm probably not clapping. I got to tell you, I'm probably not clapping. Ah. And I have sat down during many a standing ovation. if I am not moved to stand, I'm likely not going to stand.
I know. I sometimes feel bullied into it, but there are times where I'm like, I don't want it. Why are we giving this a standing ovation? Like, that didn't deserve a standing ovation.
Just because, like, that's a famous
sometimes
person.
Sometimes they're not even bad. I'm just like, it's just not a standing ovation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is that kind of thing. But anyway, you know, okay. So there is one thing you guys are talking about Bobby
Cannavale. Cannavale.
And I kind of, wait, how do you say his last name?
Cannavale.
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 And I think he's a really good actor. And I thought he played this, you know, as well as the character was written on the page. When I was doing, because I just kind of, you know, with the movies that are based on a real story, I like to look up a little bit of like what the real story was, or what they changed or things like that. And I think it was a big deal for the real Anthony Robles and Judy and his mom to include this part like in the in the movie, you know, to show like a life wasn't all like sunshine and roses or whatever, or just that he was dealing with like this thing. And so I think it was a big deal for them. That being said, I was reading like an interview he did where he talked about how when he was young, he like looked up to his stepdad and like always called him dad. Like he didn't call him stepdad, he called him dad, and how he like wanted his stepdad to like him until when it changed. And I was like, man, I wish they actually showed that in the movie.
Yeah.
Because I think starting from the place of he kind of like immediately know that he doesn't like this guy. This guy doesn't like him. This guy's a bad guy. We're the audience. We're not supposed to like him. And we're kind of just waiting for that.
Yeah. You're waiting for the shoe to drop. Or you're not, it's not even shoot or drop, but you're waiting for the explosion to happen.
Right.
And I also felt like we could have done without the flashback, or at the very least, without the flashback when it happened. Like it could have maybe happened at a different point or something, but the flashback when he says, you're not my son, it was like, oh my God. Like it just,
we already knew we ain't supposed to like this nigga.
We already knew we weren't supposed to like him. And it's already clear that they're potentially not related. They could be related given how dark he was. They could still be related. You know, that could still be family, but it was also like, no, clear, you know, he's a different complexion. Like he could also be fathered by another person. And so like, I don't know. It was like they went out of adding that flashback. It was like they went out of their way to make sure this guy, 100%. We knew this guy was an asshole.
100%. Like, right. Know. And I guess like the thing about this, and I know, I don't know anything about their real life, obviously, but there is like a little part of me that's like, as much as I'm absolutely sure this dude was trash and sounds like he engaged in so domestic abuse, even though I guess we never like technically saw it in the movie, it feels like it was hinted at a lot of times.
He pushed a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He punched the wall. We see their bruises. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of this stuff. Like, this was a bad dude. At the same time, I'm like, this is a guy who has, I don't know what the story is, but like, I don't know when she had this kid, when he came into life or whatever, but he's like involved in this guy in Anthony's life to the point where Anthony was looking up to him and calling him dad.
Yep.
And he's raising these other kids. And he is like, even though he's in and out of the house and who knows, I think they're trying to, again, hinting that maybe he was cheating or whatever, even though the movie never says he was cheating. And then there's one point where J-Lo is like, I accused him of something and I was wrong, which I was like, so were you wrong? Like, was he cheating or not? Like,
I thought he was cheating. Like, yeah. I feel like they hinted at it enough that it was like, it seemed like we're supposed to think that that was really happening.
Right. But I guess I'm still like, I feel like there's something that's keeping this guy here. And there's something like, I liked the extremely short moment we got with him and Jennifer Lopez when they were like flirting with each other, liking, because I was like, I need to see that. Like, I know, because that is a part of real life as well. Like, yes, even when there's all this bad, like there are these good moments. And I understand that the movie is like, but this guy's not a good guy. But like, we already know that. So like, can you at least show us the good moments so that we understand, or at least we can like empathize and also feel the ups and downs that you characters are feeling instead of what we're the audience feeling, which is just the negative at all times?
A lot of times the representation of toxic relationships in these movies is like the mistreatment, like the being the negative treatment, but it's like it's toxic because there are both sides. Like what makes it toxic is the gaslighting, is the wool over the eyes, is the like that's as part of it as the abuse, the literal physical or verbal abuse, you know, because it's, I don't even want to call just that part the abuse, because the other part is the abuse too, in a way, right? But yeah, but the movie almost refused to show the other side, yeah, for sure.
Which, because I think that, and I think maybe that's my issue with the film, is that I get the need to include the stepdad stuff. I do. But also to an extent, I'm like, he already is going through a lot. Like, you know, unless there was going to be a moment in this movie that it built up to like him crashing out, like it's like the weight of everything, his mom, you know, at a certain point, he does have to pay for school, which, you know, I guess just working on them planes pays enough to help with that. I just felt like there were certain things we missed out on because the movie jumps each semester. Like it immediately starts with like,
yo, it moves so fast.
It just kept jumping. And I was like, oh, what is his headspace throughout all of this? Like, I think I just needed a moment of, and again, it's hard because it's a biopic. I don't know if he had a crash out moment, but I think you needed something because everything else just felt so like beautiful to an extent. It just felt like, yeah, it just felt so pretty or I don't know, man. Lily, at one point when he goes to the college, Don Cheadle's there. Don Cheadle is like, hey, you know, you're going to have to walk on. You're going to have to like, he told me to give it to you straight. Even that felt like inspirational. It felt like, I know what he's about to do. He's going to show up. Like it didn't feel, and again, I didn't want anybody to be mean to him in any way, shape, or form. It just was, I felt like outside of Jerome kind of like looking shocked or sad towards camera, he never sat with anything. You know what I mean? And it was a feature. So it was like, it wasn't like we were building to like a, I don't know. I just felt like we didn't see him to one of the guys. Even the friends who became his friends at on his wrestling team, we never saw them really hang out. Like we never saw... Like that one
That's
guy,
true.
That one guy talks to him at the very beginning of it. And then you think that white guy is going to be mean to him. But then all of a sudden that guy is like super nice to him. But we never, even when the other guys are hanging out, they're like, hey, look at this. He's like, I see him. He does not hang out with them. Like he does not talk to them.
I mean, we don't know. His life outside of wrestling is like occasionally dealing with his mom and his stepdad. And then at work, like that's it. And then everything else is wrestling. We don't even know what his school life is like until later. We're like, he's managed to have one of the highest GPAs. And it's like, oh,
right. Yeah. Right. We didn't know anything about that. I know there was a part of me like they showed like one, like in a montage, they show like a bunch of girls like pass by him and they're like, oh, hi, Anthony. And he's like kind of smiles and that's it. And I was, because there was a part of me that's like, did this guy have like any relationships? Like,
maybe he didn't,
but like, that's a part of it too. Like, I understand that they were getting across the fact that he was so committed to this, to wrestling and to being a champion by like showing him watch like all of the training and training montage scenes and stuff like that. And then also like having him watch the tapes of other wrestlers or whatever, like his commitment to just watching video and stuff. But I don't know. I guess I wanted to see. I mean, we finally do get a scene with Don Cheadle where he explains like why this matters so much to him. And I did enjoy that. But
yeah, I really liked that scene. But it was like too. a It was like, oh, I'm finally being fed something that I've
exactly.
been missing.
Yeah. missing I think for that's so exactly long. Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly that's right. Yeah. I was like, I wanted more of that. And there was a part of me that's like, some of the things that he was accomplishing, it was hard to appreciate because I like didn't have exactly the reference point. Like,
yeah,
even him doing this, like what you're saying, Jarrell, about him like going to be the walk-on at ASU, like, it was hard not to be on the side of everybody else who was like,
yo,
you have a full ride to Drexler.
Go to Drexler. No, Drexler. That was he. I think he made a mistake.
And I was like, because to me, I was like, I know we don't. And I understand he kept saying and they kept telling us like Iowa is the premier yeah. place to go. OK, yeah. great. Yeah. I understand that, even though I don't actually know that, because I'm like, Iowa, that's schools. I don't want to go to school in Iowa. Who wants to go to school in Iowa? Anyway,
we did also literally never hear Drexel again. So like he also like never wrestled again. Like they didn't place. Like he didn't. It never even got to a,
I guess
to a point
so.
Where like where he needed.
But
to
like
wrestle
Drexel, Drexel is not like some no name school. Like I know what Drexel yeah. is. It's yeah, in same. Philly. Like you like that's not a bad to me. I was like that's not a bad school to go to. And yeah. also. And also, I couldn't understand, like, and maybe this was the case, like, maybe Drexel is not in the Division I of wrestling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not. Like, if it isn't, then I understand more. But if it is, then what does it matter? I actually do believe mm-hmm. this. What does it matter if you went to a better program or not? If you're as good as you say you are or think you are, like,
yeah.
you will then make this school better. Like, we have seen so many movies about colleges, teams, underdog teams doing well or whatever. Like Indiana yeah. just won the freaking NCAA, you know, national yeah. championship, like for football. Like they weren't a football school before. Like it just, yeah. I don't know. And wrestling is a one-on-one sport. It's not like yeah. you're relying on the team.
And the school he goes to loses funding.
Exactly.
Yeah. Loses like funding for wrestling. For specifically the reason like, that he, you know.
Even, right. even when he showed up at that school, I was like, why is he here? Because he never spoke about this school. Like he just, I was like, why are we here now? I mean, even.
But I think. Okay. This specific part didn't bother me as much, but even like my answers to this question is like stuff I'm piecing the answers to what you what the issue that you're having with it is stuff I'm only piecing together because you have this question. I don't think it's really there in the movie, but like
yeah
the what's so important about ASU and stuff is like this, it all goes to that scene that he has with Don Cheadle at the end where he's like he has like that's like he's been hyper focused on the best person at Iowa this whole time, like probably since before he's even brought into the movie, you know, because he has this very clear idea that like anything else means I'm nothing, you know? So like, I don't even want to be the underdog at Drexel, right? Right. Is sort of what he's thinking. He's like, I don't want to be the underdog here that brings up this school. I want to be the best and you know, checkmarked as being the best because of X, Y, and Z, you know.
But didn't he bring up the other school? Like, the thing is, like, he brought up the Don Cheadle.
I think specifically Don Cheadle's discussion of, like, look, these schools are the best, and, like, we are also so good that we can pick whoever we want, so we ain't picking you. You know what I mean? Like, I do think that, like, while he did elevate that school by winning a championship for them, you know, and Iowa, I guess, was always dominating.
Got it.
The idea that I get is that, like, well, it's at least in his mind better than the Philly school, you know.
Which makes sense.
You know.
That
makes sense.
But yeah, but also, to your points, not on the screen, not as on the screen as it could be, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing that I'm thinking of is, like, earlier I was asking Jarrell before you got here, Bray, is like, I wonder why I had a completely different experience watching this movie than he did. And while hearing us all talk about it now, I'm like, I guess right before the movie started, Kat was like, I don't think I'm gonna like this. And I said to her, well, come on. I mean, it's a sports movie. I mean, it's, you know, it's like a guy, he's gonna go through some hardships and then he's gonna win at the end. It's gonna be great. And I think literally all I needed right now was the tiniest modicum of of hope. I needed the I needed the smallest, like,
and somebody winning. Great.
Somebody overcame something, you know. It must be that, because I do agree with the paint by numbersness of it, but it didn't bother me as much.
Can I ask y'all a question? Where were they living when they had 90 days to get out the, like, when they got kicked out the house?
No, they didn't get kicked out of the house.
But I thought they had 90 days and the guy was like, I came without police.
They had 90 days.
They had 90
days. But they didn't get kicked out.
Oh, so that whole thing took place in 90. Got it.
Yeah.
That period of time. Yeah. Up until she served him the, like, we're, you know, you guys.
You are a predatory alone.
Yo, even that
was incredible.
Listen.
Wait, no, that was incredible. She came in with the, she had the documents. She was like, hey, look, check out this document. And I got this document. And my man was like, oh.
Listen. What I'm struggling with is again, I know this is based on a true story, so I do believe this happened. But man,
it also literally may not have happened. That's the other problem with biopics.
Go ahead. I think it might have, though, because the timing works out, right? Because 2008 was the recession.
Yeah.
And a big part of this recession was the fact that you had all these predatory loans that were happening or whatever. And then when Obama came in, they did all these regulations that were trying to combat this specific thing. So it makes sense.
100%.
Okay. All right.
What were you saying, Drew?
My only thing about it is that it was just so, again, it was so cookie cutter perfect. It was like, hey, I figured this out because my son told me I had to figure it out. And I did. Not only did I figure it out, you are the bad guy, white dude. So not only am I going to refile for this, but I'm about to, again, I know it all is true. It's just everything was so perfect. There was no moment of like, and I get it. She was on the couch or on her bed. She was super sad. Again, I don't need this to be a sad movie in any way, shape, or form. Again, Bray, what I was saying is I struggle with this because of the short that you read that I'm writing. And I'm like, oh, no, this is the thing. This cuteness is the issue. And I'm like,
well,
you know,
it's hard when, and this movie definitely, I think, struggled with trying to make it work. And I think it definitely tried, like, a lot of this person's story, it doesn't fit into a movie narrative, right? Like, there's literally, we have to like skip, we have to do a bunch of time jumps because like one part of his story is that he didn't get to wrestle for a whole year.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like, hey, 1 year we didn't even have wrestling, you know? And it's not like we followed him, like, what's he going to do for this year, really? Like, they get to show one scene and then we skip forward and it's the junior year and now the wrestling program's back. Like, with this thing with her, it's like, that was definitely a huge part of their life, right? Where they're like out on the sidewalk and like somebody comes and tells them like, you're being kicked out of your home, and they realize this delinquent father hasn't been paying the bills, and then she's scrambling and she's, you know, donating blood and like doesn't know what to do. And then she was probably doing all this research, but it's like, you can't show her doing months of research that leads up to her having this conversation, right? You have to do it in this nice little packaged way, because how else are you really going to show it? And also, it's not really that big a part of it. It's not really what the movie's about anyway. So it feels like it's just wrapped up in a neat little bow, even though a part of that is like months of stress that was happening for them. Yeah. But also, like, again, it's like, I don't know. It's a tough thing to overcome. It's why it's so much easier. It's why a lot of times when people do these kinds of movies, they're showing a season and not like a whole, like,
yes, agree.
You know what I mean? Cause it's easier to show them just to go, hey, he did this and then this and then this. And then at the end is this, and then he wins or he loses, you know? And like, that's
like,
all
if
it
this
is.
Would have started with that final fight. That final match, and then flash back to the beginning of that season. He's already with Don Cheadle. You know what I mean? Like, I think you're right. I think if we had like centered in a little bit more instead of covering a 5-year span in 2 hours, I do think that would have made it a better movie. But yeah, it's hard because the acting was well done. Like, it's, I don't know, man. Even watching some of J-Lo's like truly great dramatic moments, I was like, the way it's shot feels like Lifetime-y. And I was like, I can't figure out why. I'm having a hard... Can't tell if it was the
I think it wasn't... I do feel like... And I you know, I'm not an expert on this stuff. But I guess what I'll say is that I notice when the cinematography is really good. And probably when the cinematography isn't good, I don't necessarily notice it. I just feel it. So I can't like point to anything where I'm like, oh, like in this scene, they did this or whatever. I just feel like there was never a shot where I was like, man, that was a great shot. Or like, that was just so artistic or whatever, you know? And I do feel like a lot of the emotion, I felt one of the reasons I feel like the score was bad was not because it was, I mean, I guess partly is because it's on the nose, but it's also, it just felt like I was like, I noticed the score because I wasn't feeling the emotion watching the scene. And then I noticed the score is like telling me the emotion I'm supposed to be feeling. And I'm like, but I'm not feeling it. You know,
I agree.
As opposed to the score, like kind of underlying something. And then you're kind of like, and then you realize like, oh my God, like I'm being moved and like, oh man, this music is also awesome. You know, I don't know. I think like having also we are, I've been watching a lot of, you know, the Oscar nominated films or like awards contenders lately. I've been watching these screeners and stuff. And so you could just like, it's what you watch some movies and you're like, whoa. And then you watch other movies and you're like, oh, this isn't as good.
Like it just isn't.
I don't, I'm sorry. Like I, you know what I mean? Like I you watch some movies and I can't even necessarily put my finger on why they feel so much better, but they just do. And then a movie like this, where I can't, like outside of, I do think, I don't, I think the father stuff, like it took up so much of the movie and it was, it felt so one note. Yeah. I wish there were more ups and downs. Like,
I agree.
You know, if he actually cared about, sorry, my Kelly's barking. If he actually like cared about what his stepdad thought, then it would feel more dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also remembering as you're talking about things that the movie kind of leaves behind, like at the very beginning after that first match, like the neighbor across the street says hello and he says hello back. And J-Lo's like, and she's like, don't talk to him.
Yeah.
And we have
he's not no your idea friend.
What that is or why.
We never saw him before and we never see him after.
And so, yeah, like, there's so much of like that. It's like, I guess I'm like, are that's they going on, but what is
neighborhood?
That?
Is he a drug dealer or like, does he hang out with those kinds of people?
And we
like,
never see him again, really.
What is it?
Yeah. I was just like, what was the point of that? What was the point of that scene? Really?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I don't know.
You know, like, Michael Pena's character is like, so, like, he's such a great actor and he's so likable. I was like, this relationship is fascinating, interesting, but we kind of like start the movie towards the end of it almost, you know, I mean, I know he like sticks around and all of it, but it's just like, we didn't get to see the thing that built up. And I guess they just couldn't because he just wouldn't look like a high school kid, but like, we didn't get to see him. How he like, because I was reading like his real life, like he didn't, like when he first started wrestling, he was really bad, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he became really good during high school and became the best at the end of high school, like at least the best.
Oh yeah,
that's
wild. Like that's, it's like,
yeah.
You almost want to hear that. Like.
Cause yeah, that's kind of even more of the story than the college part is.
Yeah. Like what the college, the, genuinely the college stuff could be in the text at the end as much as like as much as anything else, because all of that stuff at the end also I thought was remarkable. I was like, he went on to do all of this as well. like for somebody who was like, I'm done after this is all I have, and then like to be able to accomplish so much after that is remarkable. So like I definitely think like we could have focused on that earlier story or even just seen more of Michael Pena and them together during the movie.
Agree. Just something to show like why they were, I mean, he was part of the family at one point, but I mean,
yeah, which makes sense. It feels like I believe that, you know, because if this wrestling meant this much to this kid's life and his wrestling coach who he knew for presumably all 4 years you know, is the one who helped him become, set the foundation for his career, his wrestling career, then that makes sense. I don't know. It felt like when he finally goes to, and him and Jennifer Lopez have that scene towards the end of the movie and he has all the letters, it felt like it was the first time they were ever talking.
Bro.
Which I was like, how is that possible?
Bro, I legit at one point was like, yo, what is, because it felt like finally they were having a discussion about him being a wrestler. Yeah. And I'm like, so this is the first time y'all have ever done this? Like, I don't know, man. It was such a weird, I don't know.
Even the build up to him fighting the stepdad, Bobby, even that felt so,
I didn't like it.
It felt anticlimactic. I was like, it didn't, like, in Fences, and this is unfair, but still, you know what I mean? Like, in Fences, like that.
Oh, because you knew it
tension is building the whole time and you know they're going to fight and it's such a powerful scene, but like, in this, it was like, oh, I know they're going to fight, but like, I just was kind of like, it was really short and maybe they didn't really fight in real life. And I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, did this movie just not like dramatize his real life enough? It was like a little too close to his real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know. It was weird. It was, the movie made me go, I want to read the book. Like, I want to read his, whatever. I don't even know if you consider an autobiography or a memoir or whatever you call it. Like, it made me want to read the book that he wrote about himself and his journey that, like, made this movie possible.
Yeah, 100%.
And I understand, like, there's a part of me that was like, of course this story had to be told. Like, I'm glad. But there was another part of me that was like, no, but it wasn't. I don't know. I didn't find the movie that interesting.
Agree. I mean, I genuinely just didn't.
I wanted to. I really did.
I don't even know what else to say. Like, I genuinely just, and it was a cool story. It's just hard because it just wasn't entertaining.
But what were some other parts of it that you did like, James?
I mean, just
outside of the hope.
Any one thing, you know, that was like that, like either read false or read a little bit too melodramatic. I just was sort of like, oh, cool. You know, like I was just sort of a little bit more on board, I think, with some of the stuff. And like, I mean, like, and I was moved by, you know, every sort of change in, you know, every sort of obstacle that was overcome, or every sort of hurdle that was leapt over, you know, like it was like, oh, great. You know, like, I mean, I'm expecting him to lose midway through, and then, you know, looking forward to seeing how he wins at the end, and like, you know, and like him getting in his own way in the fights and how that happened versus like, you know, resetting and really sort of being about, like, because I mean, like, what we see four fights in the movie, maybe five, but they all are like integral. Like, it's like we see his last fight in high school. We see his fight to stay on the team. We see and then we see the two championship fights. You know, and so like.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
and like
I
a montage kind of fights in between,
a montage of other fights, but he's just winning. You know, we're not seeing the only losses we see have clear reasons for why he loses. You know, like we don't really, it doesn't add to the drama that he's losing these specific fights because it's sort of expected in a way, you know, which is, and I think that that's unfortunate, but I was still like, I don't know. I was still sort of like, great. I can't wait to see how he gets out of this one, you know?
Yeah.
I guess like, okay. I feel like to this point about the fights losing, look, whenever you watch a sports movie or like we watch F1 and like, you know, they're going to lose, like they're going to like lose a race before they win the big, another one. Right. Like it's just like, cause that's how the movies go. Right. But like, they still manage to make it dramatic, even though you know it's going to happen. It still feels like, oh no, like you're still like hoping it doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think like, and again, I think that's that build. Like we know going into F1, this young dude is going to be jealous of Brad Pitt, you know. Then all of a sudden, the young dude is going to understand where the older guy's coming from. Then like something's going to happen. The older guy's going to be gone, hurt, sick, fired. The young dude's going to have to take over. He's going to grow. They're going to come back, be friends, kumbaya. And I think the difference is that we're able to live in those moments just a little bit longer. And I think it's just a hair messier. Like,
yeah,
seeing 100%. Like seeing one scene of Jennifer Lopez being like, he didn't pay for the house. Him saying, hey, Ma, you need to figure this out. And then seeing her like on her laptop. And then the next scene is her. Literally one of the shots was her on the laptop. And then it goes like Arizona Law Office. Like that's just the generic name of it on her, like on the screen. I'm like, come on, y'all. Like, this is crazy.
That's what they be called, though.
The point that I was trying to make before my dog rudely interrupted me was that I feel like if the movie did a better job leading up to this to his junior year when he like makes it to the end of the whatever and he's fighting to win the title. Like if they built up more like you did it, like you made it, like I know and like you can beat this, like they mm-hmm. built up a lot of like, hey, this guy's really intimidating. He might be like, they almost did the opposite. Like they did the thing there. The movie was like, you're probably going to lose. And he loses. Instead of us feeling what he, even if he was intimidated, I think he still thought he was going to win. Because if he didn't think he was going to win, then us seeing him lose shouldn't feel bad. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so if we were more on the journey of like, hey, he could win. He could be the biggest story in history. Like, I don't know, like this thing's lined up. If like, if you win, like you're going to get like ESPN's going to do a cover story on you and blah, blah, blah. And then he loses like that. You know, he loses also, and he's like, shocked. And I don't know.
He never lost a match of it. Like, I think another sort of issue with the way they represented the matches in this is like the vibe is sort of like that he has also never lost a match. Like, I mean, yes, we saw him not win the practice match, but like, but beyond that, it's like you haven't lost.
Well, his senior year, he didn't lose a match. His senior year was undefeated. Show me the montage.
Or at least show me the like have somebody talk about the fact that like, if you finish this, you will win. You'll be undefeated. You know what I mean? Like, and that causing more pressure on him, and so. And like we get that scene where he's like, he has kind of bought into that weird Iowa mentality of like second place is the same as every other
place.
I
mean, the reality to me, the other thing that I kept thinking about, but I didn't even think that the movie made a big deal out of this is like that he made it to the finals every time. Like that's crazy. Yeah. Like that's like that's huge in and of itself. And even that was not made to be a big deal. And I think that has a lot to do with how he personally viewed being at the finals, but not winning. But at the same time, it's like, that's a huge feat to you're at the finals. We saw you at the finals in high school. And then you're at the finals for 2 years in a row in college. That's absurd. Like that's ridiculously huge to even do. You know, and so I guess, you know, even figuring out a way to show us even what that means in the movie, rather than it being like the expected, well, he's going to be at the finals, but then he's going to lose, you know, like showing literally just the weight of what that means, I think could have helped.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, it was also the movie was too long, right?
It didn't bother, the length did not bother me, but I do think that the amount of time it covered was an issue. So I think that goes hand in hand. But it didn't feel too long to me, though.
Okay.
Well, I guess, hold on, wait, maybe that's a lie. I kept checking to see how much time was left. I did keep doing it. I did keep going.
Let me tell you, when he finally won at the end, I was like, what's after this? How many minutes? 3 minutes? All right, give me the wrap up real quick, bro. Also, give me more Don Cheadle. Anyway, that's my last thought. It's like, give me more Don Cheadle.
I genuinely thought at first that they had Don Cheadle for a day.
Yeah, I mean, they probably only had him for two. They probably only had him 2-3 days. Like,
yeah.
That's probably a 2-3 day shoot. It's crazy. For sure. No way it was four.
That's crazy. He's such a big part of the movie.
No way it was
four. There's no way. There's no way it was 4 days.
They were right, like, my man, we're going to have you at the school. We're going to have you in the office.
Yep.
We're going to have you.
No, he had to be more than 4 days.
Bro.
A lot of different locations.
No, but think about it. For real. The most of that scene at first was at that one campus, ASU. That's three sets. If it was an actual location, you can get that shit done in a day. You could have him.
Right. The track. It's
like the mountains.
Okay. That's one set.
You could have him do all the in the gym stuff, like with the other kids, even them telling Jerome, you get to be on a team. Even him telling him, I was told to give it to you straight. That all could be one day. That could all be one long day. It's an indie, so they're moving fast. And then you do all your big locker room and your two. It's only two. Literally, we don't see Jarrell do that many matches. It's like you
don't. We see him do four. We see him do four.
Maybe fights, okay. Period. I will give y'all four days.
Four period.
Y'all ain't telling me Don Cheadle was on that set more than like more than 4 days. I'm like, ain't no way. Ain't no.
I give y'all four. There for five. All right. The other thing, the last thing I wanted to say was just that apparently in real life, Anthony Robles invented a move.
I'm so upset.
Invented an offensive move like he had to do because he only had one leg. And I was like, why did they never talk about this? That's crazy to me.
What move was it? Do you know what it was?
No, I don't. And I don't know if we would understand it, and maybe that's why they didn't talk about it, but like, try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though? like I understand, like, they tried a little bit with the points. Like, I didn't fully understand, but... And I guess they didn't actually try that much, but they at least were like 2 points, like 1 point, like, you know,
a thing that stuck out to me watching this was a thing that I think all sports movies have to do. But I only realized it with this because of how unfamiliar with college wrestling I am, is like you have to like establish like a visual language for like what's going to be a point and what's not going to be a point. Like to anyone that doesn't understand it, you have to figure out a way to like make a pattern out of this is successful and this is unsuccessful. And so like, I was like, oh wow, cool. Like, I feel like I understand what he has to do to get out of this match or to get out of this blah, blah, blah. But then now with that being a real experience that I had watching this, learning that he created a move that they could have spent any amount of time showing us that he did is so, I'm so upset. I'm so mad. Furious at these filmmakers. Furious. Created a move. Like every time they kept doing the hand thing, I was like, is that the move he made? I don't even know if that's what the move is. Right.
Got it.
But every time they kept doing the hand thing, I was like, that feels very important to specifically wrestling with somebody who has one leg, you know, like
right.
how you can best somebody's, your position on their hands or whatever feels important in this way. I don't know if that's what the move is, but if it is or has anything to do with that, y'all could have told us. Y'all could have told us this. Oh, I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm upset. You know what? Fuck this movie.
Jokes. Like what? Apparently, like one of the reasons. No, I know. James. Come on.
We've come a long way.
One of the other things that made him so great was his grip strength, and he had such tremendous grip strength because he uses crutches. They didn't talk about that. Like, why not talk? Why not explain some of this stuff? Like, that's the stuff that I.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie took for granted, or like they didn't. They were like, well, nobody cares about the specifics of wrestling. And I'm like, dude, we're watching a wrestling movie. Like, 100%. Explain it to us. Like, we can't, like, you can't have us try to care about something and then be also think that we won't be bothered, you know, to hear about how it works.
I mean, that's clearly, I mean, not to poo-poo, I like, studio notes from time to time. I can appreciate them. But that is clearly someone from the outside saying, like, this won't be entertaining. Removing these particular facts that are wildly unique to this story, and then as a result, wildly interesting to almost anyone who decides to watch this. Anyone who's going, I want to watch this movie, would find any of those things interesting. But that it must mean that someone who had nothing to do with the actual like tangible filmmaking, saying, "Well, no one cares about."
Yeah.
Well, who's going to care about that? 100%. That's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing to remove from a story like this. Furious.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if the film fully helps that cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. And if it doesn't help the cause at all, well, we don't give it anything. Mm-hmm. So on the count of three, we'll raise our rating for Unstoppable 2024. Not to be confused with
Denzel 2010.
2010. Chris Pine movie about a train.
Really good movie.
All right.
Really good film.
All right. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Wow. Wow. Why are you moving so slow?
What was that? Why was that hand so slow?
Like, I feel bad. I feel bad. I feel bad.
Very slowly moved up a single palm.
Well, I wanted to give it a fist because it's like Terrell Jerome, you know, obviously famous from When They See Us. And he's, you know, leading in this film, and like it. Jennifer Lopez is in it, and Don Cheadle, and it got an FYC campaign, but it failed at that. I don't think a lot of people saw it. And like, I also think like he spent so much time on this, and man, that must have been so disappointing to spend so much time on a role and not, I don't know if it's like moves his career forward. Like if anything, it's just like, yeah, you did this movie, people didn't see it, and now your star has dimmed and the momentum you had from When They See Us is completely gone. And
anytime I hear, will you get to lead a movie
again?
I don't know. Anytime I hear people talking about specifically that makes me so sad. Cause it's true. But it's like if somebody on Jarrell's level, you know, who's, you know, younger than me, but on his level, their star is dimmed by doing a movie like this. How can I expect to do anything if stars are dimming because of roles that you take or whatever? It's
that's why I gave it a palm. I think the Jerome aspect of it is what I struggle with, because I do want to see him do more movies. I do have an issue with how black people, black men in particular, when you have these movies where, like, you know, a drill, I mean, honestly, just The Gas from Moonlight, because that's the only movie we've really had that's featured us really on an Oscar level in like the last decade. When I think about them, I thought all three of them were going to become big. I thought if you take the equivalent men of their ages, like Jarrell Jerome, you take Timothy Chalamet, you take Jacob Tremblay. You take
Jacob Tremblay is younger than Jarrell Jerome.
So, but I'm about to get to that part. So it's is Jacob Tremblay, and then the equivalent of him at the time would have been like Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
Hibbert, who was the very young version of he was little. Then you also take Ashton Sanders, who I think probably stole that movie. And you see where they are now. And they have not been giving even close to the opportunities that like these other boys have. And it hurts. So when I see a Jarrell Jerome, I understand why he would do a movie like this. But also because Jarrell Jerome is in this movie, I do think we really had an opportunity to find an actor who lived with a disability, because I don't think you needed Jarrell Jerome to get this movie made, because you had Jennifer Lopez, you had Michael Peña, you had Don Cheadle, and you had... literally just J-Lo and Don Cheadle was enough. So I think you could have had someone else star in this movie And had that kind of representation.
J-Lo alone probably would have been enough.
But J-Lo and Don Cheadle. Anyway.
No, exactly.
So I think that is one of the things that hurts it as well. But also, like,
he might have been attached before them.
Which honestly, still, I still don't think he should have been the lead of this movie. Like, I think you should have. I just really don't. I think if we are in a world where we're talking about representation on screen, there is 100% in me, I believe, that you could have found something from this movie. I hear about white people being discovered every day for the damnedest reasons. And I'm like, y'all could have looked. You know what I mean? Like, we could have found somebody. And what sucks about it, too, is I do think Braylock is right when it comes to Jarrell's career of this was a dud. And technically, he hasn't had that many shots. Like, he had that TV show, the Boots Riley TV show, which didn't do well. And that was 2022? Maybe 2021, 2022.
Apparently it was 2023, even though I feel like it was 2022.
I thought so too.
No, just time has been time.
I know time. Who knows what time it is. But no, I mean, according to IMDb, it came out. Yeah. According to IMDb, it came out 2020.
But even that movie kind of came and went. I mean, that series came and went. I didn't even finish it.
Sure did.
Unfortunately. And I'm looking at this movie. I wouldn't have watched this movie. I genuinely, until Braylock says something, was about to watch the Denzel movie. You know,
we didn't do the Denzel movie already.
Well, what's so funny is that literally every time I talk about this movie, every single person thought I was talking about the Denzel movie.
Bro, everything in me thought you were talking about Denzel.
I'll just say, like, as y'all were talking, you know, and I gave this movie a fist for Jarrell Jerome specifically, and then also just, you know, it being populated with black actors. But, like, definitely, you know, considering the thesis of this podcast, like, not finding a person that lives with a disability who's also an actor who could have played the role, I think is a major misstep, specifically as it relates to this podcast, you know, which I do also think, you know, had this same thing, like, James Franco cuts off his arm in 127 hours. Should he have been someone who had his forearm already removed to play the part? Or, well, I mean, I don't know. Thing. I don't know.
Well, I don't know if that's the same.
That one's specifically different.
It's only different in that. Sure. We can get to the nitty-gritty. Right. That was just the first thing that popped in my mind. I was just talking about it. But I just mean that white people do this.
That was just the first thing that popped in my head. Yeah.
But then when white people do it, it's still like, I think like there was a, like, take it not even with a disability, but take it even with like the queer community. There was such a backlash because, you know, a white actor, a white straight male actor would play a queer person and win an Oscar or like get Oscar nomination. Yeah,
Imitation Game.
The thing is, though, the backlashes for that are not strong enough to because that Hollywood does not care. They still do that and they succeed at it. Care. You know what I mean?
I said that Andre Breyer was gay because I thought he was gay and I was wrong about that, but I just assumed because of the way Hollywood was going that was a reveal,
right? But like up until like even like Daniel Craig and Queer, you know, like he was being praised for that role, and there are certain things. And look, I obviously care about disability representation in films. Like, Anthony Robles was a part of this movie making process, and I think he was probably excited to have like an actor that felt like they had some sort of gravitas least playing him.
Sure
You know, and sadly it's so hard to even get anything made where the character has a disability, let alone the real person. It's like, that's how far back we are, you know? Like, if the character has a disability, the people are like, I don't know if anybody wants to see this.
Is anyone going to watch that?
I mean, listen.
I totally hear you. I obviously, I agree. I like trying, myself have been trying to make something with Steve for God knows how long in this industry.
Yeah.
really doesn't want it to happen. But
unless it's about his disability, which is so the moment.
Right. Well, that, I mean, that's the foot in the door. Yeah, even if it's not literally.
Like, yeah. Like I've had people go, oh, so it's about the struggle. I was like, no. So you're going to do this? And I'm like, no.
It's wild how that still hasn't changed. Like for as much as the industry has quote unquote in heavy air quotes evolved, the reality is still that like the powers that be that are, you know, buying things and blah 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 are sort of filtering things through the lens of ableism, through the white majority, through and they are sort of only going, you know, what do I get or understand about that? You know, like broad, something being broad or more accessible means white, straight white male, typically, right? Like, like broad and accessibility typically means that. but I do think it is skewed more male. I do think it is skewed more male in that case. But yes, or woman for sure. But it's wild. Wild that has not stopped yet or even remotely evolved.
Thank you all for listening. You can is this a free?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Threads. And if you would like to support this podcast and also get access to exclusive content, you can subscribe to our Patreon and our Red Circle, which is literally only $5 a month. And let's be honest, in this day and age, $5 a month is really not that much money. And it helps keep this podcast free. And we do great episodes there as well. We reviewed the new film Night Patrol. We reviewed, what else have we done recently? We did the F1, the movie, which we just mentioned on here. And I'm sure at some point we're going to do an Oscars thing again. So yeah, $5 a month helps keep this podcast free. You could also, there's a discount if you sign up for a year. You could also, if you were like, I'm sorry, I can't do $5 a month, but there are, man, some of those movies, I do want to hear your opinion on it. You can just buy that episode in itself. So that's another option. You could follow me at John Braylock. And if you're in LA and like to see Improv, Dance Club Remix is my Herald team. Also, at the end of every month, we do Who's All Gonna Be There? Look that up. That show's fun. Friday Block Party.
Yeah,
we do
Who's All Gonna Be There. Yeah, well, we do that.
James, you gonna show up? James, you gonna show up?
James retired.
James, you gonna show up?
Well, I don't know. James made a post at the beginning of the year saying, you know, maybe he's back.
James Third is back. James Third is back, y'all.
So, he's returned. I don't know.
Returned in 2023.
Oh my God, James, you going next?
You can follow me at rule3inc.com. I'm going to be at a bunch of cons this year. It's already started the first quarter and film festivals. It's already started. The first quarter is there's a lot of stuff. I'm going to try to attend as many as I can. If I'm not going to be there, I'm going to also post about that on social media. But the goal for this year is to get my book in hands.
Good,
and, you know,
go.
It's one thing to post about it, but I got to actually be in front of the people. And so I'm going to be at these cons. So please come through. Come by. Say hi. If I'm in your city, in your state, please come through. Ruleof3inc.com or at Ruleof3inc on Instagram is where you can find all that information.
Yep. I've seen it. I rolled up on James at the Pasadena Comic Con.
You saw me make.
I saw you
in
go
the
from
period you were there.
50
the
bucks.
You were there.
50 bucks.
I made that's over exaggerating just a little
like
bit.
Like
40. Yeah, 40. You saw me make 40.
Man, nigga, listen, I was there for an hour. And you had a spot in the back, which was crazy. So
I did. They had us in the corner.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain to the guy next to us that what it killed us the most was that across from us was not more people. It was a wall. I was like, just so you know, it was his first con. I was like, just so you know, because there's nobody across from us, we are not making any money.
Yeah.
That's why nobody is here.
That wall did job. But you know what? You still had it. The setup was dope. You can follow me at Gerard Milligan on Twitter and Instagram. This coming Sunday, February 1st, Black History Month, doing a show at UCB called Pilot Season at 7. Then I am dashing off to do so improv at UCB at 7, Pilot Season, wonderful black show, the dope writers. We got people like Keisha Zala's apparently back out in the streets again. Dwayne Perkins will be out. That should be fun. At 7:38, I'm dashing the Burbank to Flappers to do some stand-up. So please come out and do that.
You gonna be at Flappers?
I'll be at Flappers.
What,
I've never.
What time? Say it again.
It's the show starts at 7:30. So I think I will probably get there. It goes, I think it's a 90-minute show. I will probably get there at about 8:30. So I'll be towards the end of the show.
Okay,
it's,
a bunch of good comedians.
It's really dope. Never been to Flappers. Come show love. I do think they make you buy like water or some shit.
Yeah. It's a 2-drink minimum, but it's a nice, which room are you in? Do you know?
I have zero idea.
It's a nice setup. Regardless of which room you're in, it's okay. A nice setup. So y'all should come through.
We do a mad black history stuff. Come through. Mad black history stuff this month. We outside. And yeah, that's about it.
Nice. Well, we will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
Peace.